It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Good afternoon and welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. As always, thank you for joining us. On today's show, we will be talking about all the uplifting news from the week, and we will be finishing our discussion of taxes and what we should be doing with our tax system. In other words, what we're absolutely not going to be doing with our tax system. Starting off with the news. Hurricane news. Turns out the hurricanes have come to New York. Hurricane Trump was at the UN today. I don't mean to make light of the hurricane situation. The Caribbean is still suffering through the latest hurricane, and people in Houston are still trying to wash off the feces and the diseases that are being caused by all the feces they were exposed to. Government regulation, anybody? Never mind, more on that later. But President Trump was at the UN, and it was remarkable to see all the hand-wringing and nail-biting from across the world prior to Hurricane Trump hitting the United Nations. It put me in mind of taking my 4-year-old son into a liquor store, something I must admit my wife and I have been doing quite a bit of since November 9th of 2016, as well as visiting our new weekend retreat in Colorado. Okay, full disclosure, we're not going to liquor store often, and we don't have a weekend retreat in Colorado. Nevertheless, I understand the idea of the United Nations being concerned about Trump. In fact, the better example would not be my 4-year-old child in a liquor store. It would be my 4-year-old child speaking to the United Nations, because we had a 4-year-old child speaking to the United Nations. The good news is the world right now seems to be breathing a collective sigh of relief. Sounds like, returns just being in, he was a bit of an idiot. He was a bit gauche, but that's presidential for President Trump. So we may have dodged a bullet there, so to speak, that President Trump did not actually create World War III while he was speaking at the United Nations. This is what we're up to, this point where we are absolutely afraid to let our president out at night. Speaking of a president you can't let out at night, DACA. We've obviously been focusing the last few weeks on deferred action for childhood arrivals, the Dreamers, and Trump's announced ending of the DACA program in a few months. Well, the latest, as we go to press, so to speak, is that Trump right now seems to be siding with the Democrats and saying he will make sure that something happens that allows Dreamers to stay in this country legally, work legally, pay their taxes legally, go to school legally. Don't breathe a sigh of relief. Sighs of relief tend to be premature in Trump's America. We thought maybe he would use this as leverage for his wall. Right now, he seems to be saying that he is letting that go. But this is President Trump. President, ooh, look, it's so shiny. One of the interesting things about DACA is when his aides came out, senior aides came out and reported that they were worried about the fact that his DACA policy was something he was absolutely clueless about. He shot it off in a tweet because he was thinking about or standing in front of people who would like that. And President, ooh, it's so shiny, likes to ingratiate himself to whoever he happens to be in front of. When he's hanging out with Nancy and Chuck, we might get him tweeting or saying that he will be promoting a reasonable policy. But what's next week going to bring? Forget next week. What's tomorrow going to bring? And the day after. Do not let up the pressure. We will see in a few minutes what letting up the pressure may have done for healthcare reform, so to speak. As we look at Trump's DACA policy, his objection to DACA, at least at the moment, falling away, we think about all of the objections that Trump has had, that he's spoken so forcefully about, about the Obama administration. His policy, his agreement with Iran, the nuclear agreement that Trump blasted so much, turns out maybe not such a terrible thing after all. DACA, maybe not such a terrible thing after all. Obamacare, well, they won't admit to it not being such a terrible thing after all. It turns out that there's a whole lot worse out there at the very least, and they certainly don't seem to be able to improve upon it. How about the Afghanistan war that the current president of the United States was bashing Obama for? Get the hell out of Afghanistan. Well, it turns out we've got Obama's policy and more of the same. Does this mean the survival of some of the Obama legacy? I wish, but certainly it points out the vacuousness of the right and how clearly it is that they have spent 8 years just saying everything they could think of bad about Obama and opposing everything without any thought as to policy and whether it was good or bad. Just criticize it, break it apart, and worry about picking up the pieces later. Speaking of new arrivals to this country, the refugees report. Did you read this? That apparently Trump administration officials have rejected a Health and Human Services study that was commissioned months ago because they're busy giving the White House cover for its policy, a rationale for reducing the numbers of refugees. It turns out the HHS study indicated that refugees actually meant a net gain for the United States government, that they brought in about $63 billion more in government revenue over the past decade than they had cost. Well, this fact, this study, this science, this research didn't fit with the White House agenda. So what do you do when facts interfere with what you want to believe? You disregard the facts, of course. It was Sherlock Holmes who famously said, as penned by Arthur Conan Doyle, when the facts no longer fit your theory, you change your theory. You don't change the facts. But not this administration. It's not about good policy. It's about political success, pandering to their base. And unfortunately, pandering to their base, creating fear, promoting bigotry, is something that always plays well in Peoria, so to speak, and something they seem to always quickly go back to. Maybe we should be happy that there's some improvement. They're not scaring the crap out of us by saying those refugees are going to come kill us, which is what they were saying before. No, they're just going to cost us money and take our jobs. So maybe that's improvement. It's not true either, but maybe that's better than playing on fear. The lot of minorities in America, the non-white people, you know, the people who have every government break and have it so much easier in America than poor white people have, especially white men. That's sarcasm in case you missed that. Meet me in St. Louis, where St. Louis is currently going through the aftermath of rallies leading to riots for another acquittal of a white police officer who killed an unarmed black man. That brings the number from the last few years higher into the 40s of black men killed, unarmed black men killed by police officers. There have been almost no criminal prosecutions, and one police officer has gone to jail. And yet, whites continue to whine about how tough they have it in America. Go back to our affirmative action show for more on that one. Okay, we're going to be talking more about taxes later in the show. But the news from the week is Donald Trump urging the quick passage of his tax plan with only one problem. There is no tax plan. He is urging the swift passage of a tax plan that does not exist. Once again, facts and reality shouldn't get in the way of a really good tagline. They have already announced that they will be tying tax legislation to hurricane recovery. Tying tax legislation to hurricane recovery. So we have the blatant theft of resources in this country, and now we're going to go with extortion? Give me what you want, or you will suffer our wrath? Gee, what a nice store you got here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it, eh? Yeah, see? This is reminiscent of Bernie Sanders saying publicly years ago that if you understand how politics is done in Washington, in order to get any bill passed, you need the approval of corporate America. You want to spend money on hurricane recovery? That means spending money. That means tax money. That means corporations may be asked to pay taxes. That means what's in it for us? You want to save lives? Bribe us. Give us something. Like lower taxes. We've talked at length on this show about the ridiculous know-nothing argument that politicians are all the same, which is big from people by people who supported Trump at this point. Well, they're all the same. They're not all the same, and here's another great example how they are not. Democratic leaders have drawn a red line in the sand on taxes. Said, no cuts for the rich. We will fight any bill you have that includes tax cuts for the rich. Now, they apparently left themselves an out for corporations and businesses, which filters back to the rich. But it's a dramatic distinction between Democrats and Republicans right now in our government. So, speaking of bad ideas that won't die and don't ever rest on your laurels, healthcare is back. The effort to kill Obamacare, which we keep thinking went away, keeps coming back like the worst kind of zombie. What's going on here? The Republicans just need to win something. They need to get a victory. The fact that that victory will be a Pyrrhic one that will harm millions and millions of Americans and cost us more money, that is irrelevant. Policy doesn't matter. Result doesn't matter. It's all about the image and the fiction that could be maintained. So how did healthcare get back in, and why are we looking at this again? Republicans have figured out a way, perhaps, where they could deflect blame for all the damage that's going to be done. This is now Republican policy motivations. Not how can I help America, but how can I manage to screw America and get a victory and not get blamed for it? So here they're going to put off a lot of the pain until later and push it down to the state level so they could blame governors for it. Which is why Republican governors will come out en masse and oppose this one, because they understand that they're the sacrificial lambs, in many respects, on this. Because here's the first theory of American politics, the first truth of American politics. If you whack someone on the head with a baseball bat, they don't like you. But if you manage to give the baseball bat to somebody else who whacks somebody on the head with the baseball bat at your orders, the average American is too stupid to understand the connection between A and C. So they will deprive millions of Americans of health care, and they will increase spending, but they will be able to claim that it's somebody else's problem. So once again, we seem to be counting on John McCain to show a little bit of backbone and oppose this awful bill. He already seems to be wavering. Why? Because the governor of Arizona has come out supporting the bill, despite the fact that it is expected to about double the number of people without health care in Arizona. Why would the governor of Arizona be willing to sacrifice his own constituents? I leave that to you to decide, especially when perhaps he runs with Republican Party backing for John McCain's Senate seat next time. The promises that must have been made to him to get him to put the pressure on McCain to change his vote. How much is this guy being offered to sell out his constituents in the United States of America? No difference between the parties? Give me a break. Okay, Russia, because we can't ever really forget Russia. Turns out, Paul Manafort, the former Trump campaign chairperson, has been a target of an FBI investigation since before the election. In fact, has been subject to an FBI wiretap, leading people to wonder a couple things, like, can he be forced to turn state's evidence? It's already being speculated that some of the reason for the pardon of Joe Arpaio is to send a message for people involved in the Russian investigation that don't worry, do whatever you need to do to protect me, and I will simply pardon you after the fact. The other question that arises, of course, is what kind of jackasses hired this guy as campaign manager when his collusion with Russia was already being investigated by the FBI? And is it possible the Trump team didn't know any of this? In today's paper, speaking of Russia, today's New York Times, former UN representative, United States UN representative Samantha Power, an article where she warns, as we've been doing on this show for a long time, about the impact of false information. In this case, false information provided by a foreign government such as Russia, disinformatsiya, and how basically, she puts it nicely, more nicely than we do, but her point was pretty much the same, which is the American public may be too goddamn stupid to be subjected to false information and be expected to tell the difference. About 84% of Americans, she say, believe that they can tell the difference between real and fake news. But that's ridiculous. They think they can, but they can't, which is the worst combination possible. It's not just disinformation presented by foreign governments, of course. It's disinformation provided by Fox News, Sinclair, One America, Breitbart, all the usual propaganda outlets on the right. People are falling for it, but they're so sure they're smart enough not to. Equifax, also in the news. Equifax losing the personal information to a hacker of perhaps 143 million people. And government can't get anything right? And we're so used in this country to saying that government is inefficient and can't get anything right? Boy, the problems with the Obamacare website for the first couple of days it went up seem to pale in comparison to this. Why don't we ever talk about corporations not being able to get anything right? Oh, right, because they're the ones telling us that government can't get anything right, so we don't regulate them. Not only did they lose this information, but they managed to screw up the whole thing where their website froze and their phones didn't work for people who were calling in to have their credit frozen, as did yours truly. They can't even get that right. Turns out, it's now being reported, several executives of Equifax knew about the hack before anybody else knew about the hack, and guess what they apparently did? They sold their stock. There was a recent court ruling in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals that actually, perhaps, made insider trading something that can occasionally be prosecuted. Whereas before, it was so narrowed in its definition that it basically was unprosecutable. But now, maybe it can be prosecuted. Let's see what happens there. And lastly on the news, Steve Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, and his wife, Marie Antoinette. What a statement of the Trump administration. Poor Steve Mnuchin. Worth only upwards of $300 million, which in the Trump administration makes him, I think, eligible for government welfare payments, maybe food stamps. In the Trump administration, $300 million gets you laughed at. So you could see why he felt that when he and his new wife were going on a honeymoon to Europe, they should be flown there on a government plane. When this trip, this proposal was uncovered, his response for needing to take a government plane that cost $25,000 an hour to operate and charge the American taxpayer for his honeymoon was, I'm so important to this country. I am fifth in line of presidential succession. I need to be available at all times. Okay. Just think about that for a moment. I'm not going to spend any more time on that since I want to make sure I get through taxes today. The last time he did this, when he took government transportation to Kentucky to see the eclipse, then he said in that time he had to go, as Treasury Secretary, he had to go and visit Fort Knox. He had to check on our gold, make sure it was still there. Turns out there was a major threat to the U.S. gold supply at Fort Knox. It turns out he had just seen a documentary and read news reports that a wanted known criminal named Goldfinger had a plan to poison the gold at Fort Knox. So he had to go check it out on the government's dime when he wasn't looking at the solar eclipse. Also, our Treasury Secretary failed to declare $95 million in assets, including several homes that he had around the country and the world. The kind of thing that obviously would slip your mind. $95 million in assets. Who can keep track of these things? How could he possibly remember? This is draining the swamp. By the way, Steve Mnuchin has a very important job right now. He's crafting tax policy. This is the guy you want in charge of tax policy? Whatever he crafts, he will come out and say, I'm doing this for you people. Just like he wanted to fly the government plane to Europe for you people, so he could be there for you. How stupid are we? And what a sense of entitlement among the wealthy. Well, speaking of sense of entitlement among the wealthy, we talked a couple of weeks ago, and then, of course, we had urgent business to get to, but we talked a couple of weeks ago about our tax system, and we gave a rationale, several reasons justifying a progressive tax system. In other words, taxing at higher rates, higher levels of income. Billionaires paying a higher percentage than thousandaires. We talked about, with the extent of income inequality, if you want to fund government services, given how little money the average American now has, you're going to need to go where all the money is. That's with wealthy people. I'm reminded of this every day in my day job at Queens College, when I have to scrounge around for chalk or bring my own chalk because one of the flagship colleges at the City University of New York can't afford chalk. The email we got from our department heads saying, share supplies between departments. Why do you each need a stapler, for instance? Can't you just have one stapler for your building and share it? Maybe you can reuse old staples. This is where we are as a public college. They said, don't put ink in your printers. But we need to give tax cuts for billionaires because that's the problem with America. We talked about taxing luxury money more than necessity money. And at higher levels of income, more of your money is luxury, not necessity. We talked about an unlevel playing field regarding making money, that the wealthy have so many more opportunities to make money than the poor do. Like, for instance, if you are an executive at Equifax, you get to engage in insider trading. But there's a lot more than that. The lack of a link between money and social utility, where we could direct resources to better places. The wealthy have ways to avoid taxes that others do not. The wealthy have ways to avoid spending, to get other people to pay for their stuff, like flying on government jets or government tax write-offs for your entertainment expenses. Wealthy get more from government. The police are their friend. Mitigate the role of luck in our lives and the deal we make when providing opportunity. How progressive should we make our tax system? Well, I'm going to betray my socialist roots right now, or indicate my socialist roots right now, and say that I believe our top tax rate should be 100%. Crazy? Confiscatory? Yeah. I'll agree to a really high number for that. If you make $50 million in a year, go home. Take care of your family. Meet your children. Do something else. You've earned enough money. Let somebody else have a shot. But whatever it is, you should understand that right now our tax system is way less progressive than you think it is, as we talked about on our show a couple of weeks ago. And in fact, for the most part, the ultra wealthy are paying a much lower tax rate than everybody else. So how do we get to a more progressive tax system? A couple of quick suggestions. We will post these on our website. But Trump is proposing, early proposals are to reduce the number of income tax brackets. There's a reason for that. The fewer tax brackets, the more people who have a good income but not ultra rich, like someone making $300,000, will be paying the same tax rate as someone making $30 million. And so they could say, well, why would you raise taxes on someone making $300,000? The answer is add more tax brackets for income tax. Make someone who makes $300,000 a year pay a lower tax rate than someone making $3 million, who pays a lower tax rate than someone making $30 million. Tax passive income at least as high as work income. Right now in America, people who make their money off of their money through something called capital gains pay a substantially lower tax rate than people who make their money by, I don't know, working for a living. Why would this be? Simple. Who makes their money off their money and who makes their money off of working for a living? As we talked about, the Republicans running this country, hold your ears, Trump supporters, don't give a shit about the common man and woman, the working man and woman. They represent the owners, the ultra-rich, the capitalists. So if you lower the tax rate on the kind of income that the rich make, the rich pay less in taxes. Warren Buffett, one of the wealthiest men in the world, has pointed out the ridiculousness of this. Years ago, Ronald Reagan pointed out the ridiculousness of this. Warren Buffett has pointed out that he pays a much lower tax rate than his secretary does. Why is this? To a large extent, people who make their money through finance, through playing with money, or through separating grandma from her life savings, get to pay their taxes based on the capital gains rate, not as if it's ordinary income. This is a loophole that every sane person in America knows needs to be closed. Or as Trump advisor Stephen Schwartzman says, this is the kind of thing Nazis would want to do. And not the good kind either. So the estate tax, otherwise known, if you watch Fox News, as a death tax. Why does Fox News try to change the name of this longtime tax called the estate tax? Simple. Estate tax is far more descriptive. Right now, the estate tax doesn't kick in on estates less than something 11 point something million dollars for a married couple. Which means if I inherit, if only, $11 million from mom and dad, I pay zero estate tax. It's only above that that the estate tax kicks in at all, meaning it affects less than 1% of American estates. So you want to give a tax cuts to rich people? Get rid of the estate tax. For the rest of us, let's raise the estate tax. Eliminate the Social Security cap. Right now, the Social Security tax is a regressive tax. That's because it's a flat tax for levels of income up until about $120,000. After that, you stop paying the tax. So it's a little more than 6% for employee and employer. For any amount of income up until about $120,000, you pay 6% in Social Security tax. After that, you pay nothing. So if you make $240,000, you pay about 3.1% in Social Security tax. If you make about $1.2 million, you pay 0.62% in estate tax, in Social Security tax, rather. You want to help provide money for Social Security and public spending? Eliminate the cap on Social Security. Take the regressivity out. Fix our Social Security system for my children's lifetime. Institute a financial transaction tax. We've talked before in this class that our government finances, our Wall Street, our banking system, financial system, is basically a roulette wheel. It's a gambling establishment. Day traders, people who are making big bets and moving in and out, do not do anything good for the system. They increase instability, and they hurt the system. One way to limit that is to impose a small financial transactions tax. When you buy and sell stocks, you pay a tax. This could raise billions of dollars and lead to more responsible investment behavior. End abusive shelters and offshore tax havens. $2.6 trillion in global profits are held abroad by U.S. companies outside the United States. As the Panama Papers from one small bank in Panama revealed, the number of trillions of dollars that rich people hide abroad. Take their yachts to go visit Bermuda, for instance, to visit their money. How do you stop this? You need an international minimum business tax. A national alternative minimum tax for business. No matter where your business operates, no matter where your profits are, you will pay a certain minimum in taxes. You cannot avoid it. You cannot escape your tax obligation. You will not have the incentive as an individual or corporation to hide your money abroad. In the 1950s, the corporate sector accounted for an average of about 28% of all federal revenues. In 2010, it was down to 9%, went up a little bit in 2015 because of Obama, but it's still a fraction of what it once was. This is why we can't fund our public colleges or anything else. The corporate taxes as a share of states' revenues went from 9.7% in 1980 to about 5% a few years ago, cut in half. With corporations not paying taxes, the burden falls on the rest of us, and we lose our services. Let's make sure that corporations cannot avoid their taxes by moving overseas or hiding their parking their money somewhere else. An investigation by the Government Accountability Office found that almost two-thirds of U.S. companies usually pay no corporate income taxes. Among big companies, approximately one-quarter pay no corporate income taxes. Take a look at some of the big companies that don't pay income taxes in America. We've talked in the past about the issue of federalism and why Republicans promote states' rights when it comes to businesses. The main reason for that is that you cannot regulate businesses locally because businesses can flee your locality at the drop of a hat and move, in this case, to wherever taxes are lowest. A few years ago, we were reading about rescission, maybe not even a few years ago, a few months ago, rescission and how U.S. corporations, this became a popular term, companies like Apple were locating a mailbox in Ireland and as a result avoiding U.S. taxes. The only way you can stop this race to the bottom where country against is pitted against country to lure corporations, state against state, municipality against municipality, is for more global rules, at least federal rules in America. This is why we have federalism. In a few weeks, when the Republicans announce their tax plan, you will hear, mark it down because it's going to happen, you will hear the latest repatriation scam. What they will say is, corporations have trillions of dollars abroad that is not helping the American economy. They don't bring it back to America because of the huge taxes they would face, ignoring the fact that the money is abroad just so they can avoid taxes, which you and I probably don't get to do, I'm guessing, if you are a faithful viewer. Well, they're going to say, that doesn't make any sense. Let's give corporate amnesty on their tax cheating and tax hiding, and let's let them bring that money back to America, where they will use it to create loads and loads and loads of jobs. This is a scam that they pull every few years, the last time in the Bush administration. And why is it a scam? Because it's bullshit. First of all, it rewards companies for hiding their money overseas. The best way to avoid hiding your money overseas is to make the companies know that when they try to bring it back to buy their own stock or give their executives huge bonuses, they're going to be taxed through the nose. So what's the point of hiding it abroad? The fact that they know they're going to get amnesty in a few years gives them a reason to avoid taxes now. The other problem with this scam is that they never invest in America. If they could make more money by investing in America, they'd already be doing it. They're going to invest wherever they're investing anyway. They're going to take that money and they're going to give themselves huge bonuses. And they're going to buy back their own stock, which raises the stock price and gives themselves huge bonuses. So we are going to rob from the poor to give to the rich. The reverse Robin Hood that our tax system has become. And finally, our last big suggestion for improving the tax code, making it more fair, is business fines should not be tax deductible. Now, this seems like a pretty basic request. When a business is accused of criminal misconduct and settles with the prosecutors, generally, whatever they settle for is tax deductible. So when a business pays a fine for screwing the American public pays a lot of that fine. What can we expect from Trump and Republican tax plans? None of these things. Okay, that's our show for today. As always, thank you very much for joining us. Like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com, and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean. That's Podbean, BEAN.com. If you love what you heard, like what you heard, like us on Facebook, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please forward our link to your friends and your family members. Tell your friends, spread the word, an antidote to fake news, Forward Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.